Welcome back to Steen on Sports. It's my pleasure. I have Melissa Merrifield sitting in here with me today and with DeMoss, Des Moines Orthopedic.
Helping you get back to living. Or helping you stay in the game.
We decided we needed to do some live stuff. It's been a while, but you had the marathon. You had all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, we had the marathon, and then we've been busy with our doctors assisting a lot of our local sports athletes during their season, including like Dowling, which we're super excited. We're going to have a special guest join us today. It's been a great year. We've just keep things rolling.
Thank you for coming in today. It's Coach Tom Wilson, Dowling Catholic Maroons, getting ready to be up at Cedar Falls in the Unidome for the semifinals this coming Friday. Coach, how you doing?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. An interesting season. High school football getting back to normal down. We went through a couple of years that you just kind of go, wow, I wonder if we're ever going to get back to where we were. And then this year you start seeing crowds, you start seeing all the fans, all the kids, and everything a little bit more towards normal than they used to be. How's the season been, just on that part of it?
Well, as you mentioned, things are really back to normal. There's a couple of years ago, fortunately we got to play, but it was difficult for everyone with all the protocol and things like that we had to have in place in order to make that happen. And I'm just glad that we're back to some normal living and kids can get back out doing what they love to do.
When you get ready to go up this week, you go up on Friday, you play at 4:00. You don't have to look very far. You don't have to game plan a lot. You're looking across the field at Valley High School, Valley Tigers. It's not your first rodeo. It's not your first rodeo playing them in the dome as well. What does that week look like to you compared to what the week looked like when you played them during the season?
Well, to be honest with you, a big thing that we try to do is to keep things as much the same as possible. I wouldn't say that our preparation is much different. Now, it being the postseason, we have more kids up practicing with us and things like that, so there's more people to manage. But as for the work itself, it's pretty much the same. Now, one thing that's majorly different, obviously, is the travel and playing a 4:00 game is different for all of us. And even in our times in the dome, we haven't played a ton of 4:00 games. It seems like we've been the late game more often than not. So there's some adjustments there, and you just hope your team as a whole can be mature enough to handle any changes that we throw in front of them. But as you mentioned, we've played Valley many times. This is year 18 at Dowling Catholic, and we have to be approaching coaching against them probably about 30 times. So that means a lot of times it's twice in a year.
It does, and it makes it difficult because you see each other. Everybody knows each other, but it still makes it a lot of fun. The stakes are a little bit higher. Once again, we're talking to Coach Tom Wilson, Dowling Catholic. I'm in here with Melissa Merrifield with Des Moines Orthopedic. When you are talking towards this time of year, and all the games that you've played, and we have to, sometimes I think fans and parents, sometimes they're 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. They're not college students or college athletes. They're not professional athletes. The little nicks and bruises that you get during the season, what does DeMoss mean to the Dowling Catholic football team?
Well, honestly, this is a relationship that, started somewhat before my time here at Dr. Schulte. Dr. Kerry Schulte was already on the sidelines of Dowling Catholic upon my arrival. And to be honest with you, the relationship has grown over those 18 years to where we exclusively work with DeMoss, Dr. Schulte. Of course, after our trainers is really our first person of contact since he's on our sidelines. And then obviously it'll branch off to various doctors and their area of expertise. But what it does is it gives us immediate care. It gives us immediate answers. And in some cases, immediate attention, which unfortunately can be surgeries and things like that. But really it takes the pressure off of me as the head coach or as the athletic director that I know you know, once we get past our trainers, if we need more help, it's there. And DMOS has been terrific. Can't thank them enough, really, for the partnership. And really what it does is, you know, people see that it benefits our team, but really it benefits our kids and our families with the service that they're able to do.
And that's one of the things, too, because I've had three boys go through Dowling on the football team, have had DMOS be a part of my life, gotten to know the doctors. It's funny how it all comes full circle around. One of the neat things, though, with their new, the enhanced performance aspect of DMOS and jumping into something like that to help you maybe rehab quicker, to have the facilities to help you rehab quicker, or even better, so when the kids aren't understanding that, hey, these are the things you need to do to get ready, you can go and say, okay, look at what this enhanced performance, look at all their directions and all their guidelines they have. That's why we want you to follow them so you're not going to get hurt. That's got to help a lot.
A ton. And to be honest with you, it's really a one-stop shop for us. And that's what has been terrific. As I mentioned, you know, I may shoot a text or call Dr. Schulte and about a question of a particular kid. And the next thing you know, obviously they've made an appointment and they take it from there and they communicate with our trainers of what they could be doing here. And also, you know, with the extra that they do with DMOS. So for me, the lines of communication are probably as important as anything else. And I think for our families, they take great comfort in the fact that they know that their child is going to be taken care of and they're in great hands and everybody's going to be on the same page.
And I remember that. I remember sitting in a parent meeting the first time that I met you and saw you with my oldest Zach. And I mean, I think that's what it was. It was comfort that you were going to take care of them. And we had no idea, you know, that he'd played sports, but not at this level. And knowing that you were going to take care of him, knowing that Coach Lark was going to take care of him, then knowing that you had DMOS on the backside of that really was a, you know, it was a home run for us to know that the reason that we are sending our kids to Dowling, there really was a good reason to do it. Academically, athletically, and everything in between, not even talking about the whole Catholic part and the religion part and all that. I mean, it was just a home run, and DMOS has been a big part of that, as have you.
Yeah, and Todd, for us, it's a big part of just being a part of our community and being a part of those athlete communities, and I could say it was a great pride and joy to really be out there for your homecoming game, and it was exciting to hear the students say, hey, I've been to DMOS. Hey, I recognize that. I went there for this. And so, you know, our partnership is very much valuable. And just thank you for the opportunity for giving us the opportunity to be a part of the team and be present in your functions and stuff. So we can't thank you enough. But it really, truly is just, you know, building those great community relationships and being a part of a community and showing up.
Well, I appreciate that and your work. And I think, you know, Mr. Lark was a big part of this as well. I would hate to say the number of years that he's been at Dowling Catholic, but we're really, really fortunate to have him. And then now as assistant Sarah Mashad, who's a graduate of Dowling Catholic, but, you know, Mr. Lark really, you know, talked to me when I first got here, about us having, you know, a linear plan, for our student athletes and the relationship had already started with DMOS between him and Dr. Schulte and Dr. Nelson amongst others. And we just took it to a different level. You know, once we really got started with our program and then as I became the athletic director, it became a lot easier for us to do it really school wide. And I think it's a win-win for everybody and it's worked out great.
We can't let you go here without at least talking about the first games this Friday. You know, not surprising to see Dowling and Southeast Polk there. I think expectations were that was you guys were 1-2 after even after watching the first game. You could just see, hey, we really want to see this game again. To have Valley and Johnston there, how surprising was that to you?
Well, as things unfolded, quite frankly, I wasn't shocked. I think Johnston first. When we played them during the regular season, honestly, I thought they were a pretty darn good football team. And at that time that they had a young quarterback that they were bringing along, and they were playing great defense. And I think as the quarterback has gained experience, he's shown in the postseason that, you know, he's going to be a really, really good player, and already is. And they've got talent. They certainly do. So once you saw their path, I wouldn't say that I was shocked. And, you know, obviously they beat a very good Ankeny team last week. And with Valley, and, you know, I'm never surprised with, you know, them from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I've have great admiration for what Coach Swenson and his staff do, and how they bring their teams along. And, you know, even we only played them a few weeks ago in week eight, and it seems like it's been a season ago already. But they've made great progress. They go and beat an undefeated Pleasant Valley team. And, you know, once they got past that ball game, I knew they would be a real handful for Cedar Falls. So I'm not shocked. They've brought their teams along very well and done a great job. And, you know, you mentioned Polk, and in week one they were better than us, and they showed that. But, you know, here we are in the Final Four, and we've got to take care of business Friday before we ever look any further in advance.
Once again, I've got to do this a lot with Coach Wilson, get to see him coach and play. And since 2010, you've won a lot of state championships. And one of the things that people ask me is, how do they do it? And I'm like, it's a family. You know, coach is the matriarch, and he's the, you know, he's the guy, but it's a family, and all these families buy in, and we're there. It doesn't matter if it's during the summer and all the parents are there cooking and making sure people have stuff. It's the priests that have been at Dowling Catholic. It's everybody. It's the teachers. It's the students. It's everything. Because you, Tom, I'm telling you, you shouldn't be able to do what you guys have done. And it's just been a great to be a part of it.
Well, there's a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit for that. And good players and a lot of support can go a long ways. But, you know, to us, you know, and some people think this is coach speak, but I've still yet to mention a state championship to this year's team, because we're not there yet. And, you know, it's really not about the focus of being on that. It's about going about things the right way and working hard and holding people accountable and everybody really rowing the boat the same way. And that's what we've tried to do. Every team is different. The personality is different. How we go about our business is different. But I think the real thing that's important is the work that these kids put in and us trying to make them the best team we possibly can, then let the chips fall where they may.
Not to single one out, but I've got to see a lot of football. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks lead you to championships. Where's Jackson Smolik fit in with that group?
Oh, he's really high, to be honest with you.
I've never seen somebody flip the ball as easy as he does, Coach.
He's a really good player, and I felt like I took the last year of just trying to get people to be interested in Jackson Smolik, because, you know, injuries and things like that, you know, kind of took some playing time away from him. And, you know, Jackson has been hanging around our program since he was like in sixth and seventh grade. And you know, finally we're here at his senior year. I'm just really happy people are seeing what we have thought all along. Yeah, he's a special kid and he's played well. And I know he's looking forward to the challenges.
Once again, we're talking to Coach Tom Wilson. I also have Melissa Merrifield in here from DMOS. And as much as we all like the fact that we have playoff football coming up, you have other sports getting ready to go. You have girls basketball, boys basketball. You have boys swimming. You have wrestling ready to get started. And those kids need the same kind of care and everything as well. As athletic director, you got a busy time ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me of that. You know, to be honest with you, this gets tough. I mean, we get girls basketball starting. You know, we now have girls wrestling, which we have a shared program with Urbandale, and they've gotten going. It's volleyball's just getting done. Now we've got our girls swim postseason is this weekend. Basketball, wrestling, bowling will be going. We've had cheerleading. We've got dance that is, you know, getting ready for their state performances and whatnot. So It's a busy time, and as you mentioned, that's going to probably mean more work for Coach Lark and Sarah and Demos. And unfortunately, that's the way it goes. But that's why we have them there.
Well, we still have you too, and we'll let you go here in just a second. Boys cross country, what a season! Holy buckets!
Phenomenal. You know, it was pretty telling to me, and we're out there on the turf practicing, and both our boys and girls teams had great years, and the boys, we were out there, the night before they were going to run in the state meet, and we were just kind of doing our practice walkthrough, doing those types of things, and the amount of work that they put in, a day or two before a meet was more than what most people do in a lifetime, and they work hard, and it's a lot of training for them, but Coach Ives on the boys' side, Coach Dworsky on the girls, had tremendous years, and obviously the boys winning another state championship, Coach Ives just keeps turning them out, and he is terrific at what he does, and those kids have a great experience, and obviously they're talented, and they have great work ethic, and you mix all that together, and you see the success they've had.
Well, Coach, we want to thank you. I love my partnership that I have with Demos. I love the fact that Dowling's a part of that as well. It was nice of Melissa to come in here so we could talk to you, and it's always good to talk to you as well. So good luck, and hopefully everything goes well so you get to make another trip to Cedar Falls and bring home another trophy.
All right. Well, good luck, Coach Wilson. We appreciate all the partnership, and not to be biased, but good luck to all the other teams and athletes. They've all had a great season. So we look forward to continuing to support you guys, but good luck on your road to Cedar Falls.
All right. Appreciate both of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and live from the capital city. It's Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Wednesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, you can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. You can also check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. This next segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Demos Urgent Care Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointments needed. You can look up wait times online at demos.com. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in West Des Moines. Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday is also 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. And once again, new to Demos is Engineered Performance by Demos, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Also have locations in Grimes and Huxley. My next guest is Zach Steenblock. He's at Zach Steenblock on Twitter. Zach, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing really well. Just had Coach Wilson. I taped an interview with Coach Wilson yesterday, kind of reminiscing about all things football at Dowling as they go up. And of course, it's another one of those times where they're playing Valley in that first game at the Unidome. Bring back memories to you at all, or is that just, that's high school, I'm done with that?
I mean, a little bit, but I have a lot of other things on my mind now and to worry about. I wish I could go back I got to do homework and go to practice and then go to bed.
It's not the worst thing.
Do it all over again.
Right?
Right.
I wanted to talk to you about a few things today. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the college football playoff rankings. You know what? I'm all in for Georgia. I'm even all in for Ohio State and Michigan because I think those three, no matter what happens, even if they have a loss, I still think all three, as long as if Ohio State or whoever wins that first game, they're going to play again in the Big Ten championship. I think that those three are pretty set. I love the fact that TCU's there. I don't think they're going to be there. I love Tennessee. I love Oregon. LSU has a shot. The one I'm getting angry with, though, is USC. USC has played nobody, and they're 8-1. I get it that it's USC. College football is desperate for USC to be good again.
Yeah, I agree. I really hope TCU's in it. I just have a feeling. So Iowa State plays in the last game of the season. It's giving me the Oklahoma State-Iowa State vibes for when they were undefeated, and we beat them at home, and then they didn't get to go to the national championship. I don't know if you recall that.
Oh, I do recall that. It was awesome.
Friday. I think they even played on a Friday night.
It was amazing.
Right, and USC, I don't think, belongs there. It's also tough when you have two Big Ten teams. Do they play each other in the regular season?
Yes, they play. So if it's not this weekend, it's next weekend.
Okay, so say if Ohio State wins this weekend and then they play in the championship game and Ohio State wins again, are you saying that Michigan
Michigan's going to have to win one of those games in order to do
right, that. Right, okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is why we need more teams in the playoffs, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Just because, I mean, I hate to say it, but when was the last time we saw Alabama ranked 8th in the standings? And they could, if the playoff was 8 teams, I could see a scenario where Alabama wins the championship, right? And I think a lot of people would too. It's also just tough when you have teams in the same conference and they play each other, and then there's so many. I mean, we've had how many years of the playoff? Maybe 7? Has it been 7 years?
I think so.
And just the way they played it out, you can lose a game in the, you know, your championship weekend and still get in. So it's weird. 4 teams isn't enough. But I really, really hope TCU can get in and doesn't look like Notre Dame and just get stomped. That would be embarrassing for the Big 12.
Right.
But it's also awesome that it's not Texas or Oklahoma, right?
No.
I mean, the Big 12, here we go, right? Yeah. The new and improved Big 12.
I like it. And number 13, is Utah. So, you know, it's out there. It's going to go to 12. I agree with you. It needs to go to 12. Especially when you're going to jump into mega conferences. And you know what? It's okay. The thing that made me angry today about Alabama, and I was trying to be nice because, you know, our backyard neighbors, Mr. John Walling, is such a huge Alabama fan, as well as being an Iowa State fan. But they're like, well, their 2 games they lost, they only lost by a few points. I'm like, yeah. And they also won 3 games that they won at the very last that they were only won by a few points. You know, quit trying to. And the funniest thing about Alabama, the one person that's bashing them the most has been their most adamant person, and that's Paul Feinbaum. I'm actually liking Paul Feinbaum right now because he's not talking about Alabama.
Right, exactly. And it's just tough, too, because, you know, pre-college football playoff, if you lost the game, you weren't going to be in the national championship.
Right.
So it set that precedent where there's not enough games and you're going to have a bad game doesn't mean that you're not one of the best teams in the nation. And we all know how much we love March Madness, and it'll never be like that because football is such a different monster.
Oh, yeah.
But I just, there's no easy way to do it. And I think there's some behind the scenes stuff that are shady. And I assume that you think the same thing.
Yes.
About what teams get invited. And I just wish Iowa State could be in the question, but I don't know if that's ever going to be possible.
Yeah. It makes it more difficult. I mean, that's for sure. And I mean, I think having people coming into the conference as good as they are, I think that looks good on paper. If you can get wins, you still have to get wins. And that is the way that this happens. But I do agree with you. I think college football is a ton of fun because of that. And, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking is that they go to a 12-team playoff. And it's not like these kids can't play extra games. But I think you're going to have to see that when that happens, that you're going to have extra money set aside to where, I don't know if it's for insurance purposes, whatever it was, if someone would happen to get hurt in playing the extra games, they're going to have to do something. I wanted to kind of jump into with the NFL. if I had to ask you right now, on the spot, who is your best football team in the NFL?
I mean, I feel like I have to say the Eagles, right?
Yeah, I have a hard time not saying them.
I know they have the easiest schedule, and you have to win the games you play, and you shouldn't be, you know, punished for that, that you have an easier schedule, and not to say that they could lose their next four games, but as of right now, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. I really thought the Bills were up there. You know, they lost to the Jets. It's kind of like last year when they lost to the Jaguars, but they've been hurt. I don't know if we can keep saying, you know, they've been hurt. You know, if they're hurt, they're probably not going to be the best team. But man, the Chiefs look pretty good.
Yeah, they did.
I know they won in overtime, but you know, the Titans always give them a run for their money.
Well, it's a tough team to play. My issue that I have with the Bills, if you take away Josh Allen's stats for scrambling, they can't run the ball. And if you can't run the ball a little bit, the Kansas City Chiefs can run the ball a little bit. If you can't run the ball at all, you can't win a Super Bowl if you can't run the football.
Yeah, and I agree. I also think it doesn't matter who the best team is. It's also who's going to get hot at the right time and who's healthy. Like we saw with the Bengals, I think the Ravens are turning a corner right now and can make a real run.
Well, I think they are.
They can get Mark Andrews healthy, too.
Yeah, they have to do that. It's kind of nice, though. Charlie Kolar is going to get some playing time this weekend. That's going to be cool. The Isaiah Likely, luckily I picked him up in my fantasy when Mark Andrews got hurt. He's a special player, too. I'm curious to see how good Charlie Kolar can be in the NFL.
Yeah, but same here. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, He's going to make a lot of money somewhere else.
He is one of those kids that actually him and Chase Allen were both they were those kids that were above 4-point students. Who wants to be an above 4-point student? Come on.
Exactly. And then who wants to go get their head bashed into the NFL? Yeah. Especially when you're that smart, right?
That is going to be that's one of those things that people look at. Even when you're looking, and this might be one of the first times, you know, we've talked about this. I've been doing this now for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and we've talked about the NFL. This might be the first time, let's say in that 4-year period, that I can look at teams in the NFL and just say they're bad. That period, they're just not any good.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Lions were going to be sneaky.
And can't play defense, and that killed them.
Right.
But they beat Green Bay.
When you're, right. And when your most explosive player on offense gets hurt, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown has been hurt multiple times this year. And it's tough when – that's just the hard part about the NFL. You know, you forget about it because you're in the off season. And other sports people don't get injured, but there's been a lot of high profile, really good players getting hurt this year in the NFL.
Now this is for a couple of your buddies and we all have them, the closet Minnesota Vikings fans that, you know what? They finally have an offensive minded coach. They've been playing well. What's your take on the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, they're probably the sneakiest team in the NFL. I think they're really good. It's going to come down to, is Kirk Cousins going to be Kirk Cousins at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's the thing. Can this new coach take him, mold him a little bit, and see what he can do? I have to ask you this one. Once again, I'm talking to Zach Steenblok. He's at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. I don't think that LeBron James wants to go out this way. Their only thing that they can do is they can trade Anthony Davis. They can throw Russell Westbrook in. Is that what you do to change this, or is this just a lost year for the Lakers?
I mean, I don't know what team really wants Russ. I think he's still a really good basketball player. I mean, I hate to say he's aging out, but it probably is. He was so explosive, and you need to shoot really well in the NBA now. I think he could be a really good role player on, you know, another team, but I don't know how much you get for him. And it's also tough when, if you trade Anthony Davis, like you gave up so much for him. And you know, he can't stay healthy. So I don't know the answer.
Here's the one
and
team.
They get rid of all their young guys for the, you know, the people LeBron wants. And
yeah, look at that. Brandon Ingram would look good there. There's a lot of guys that would look good there. Here's the one place that I don't want them to trade Russell Westbrook to. And I know that this is part of it was going to the Indiana Pacers. Of all the Iowa State Cyclones that we've watched, and we've watched a lot of them, it's always been kind of your team. I had no idea. I thought Tyrese Halliburton was going to be a good NBA player. He is a couple of centimeters away from being a really good to great NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, he could make the All-Star game, honestly. I don't even know how to put it into words.
I don't either.
He's so good. I think I said this on, you know, the radio a couple of weeks ago when my buddies had their NBA fantasy draft. He went 8th overall. And I mean, his statistics speak for themselves. He's so good. He gets everyone involved and their team is young and they're fired up, right? Because it's not no names, but there's not a lot of big names on that team right now. And it'll be interesting. And how old is he? 24?
Yeah, if he's that. Maybe not even that. He's really young.
Yeah.
He might be 23. And I agree with that. And this is what I thought when I watched him the other night. I thought it was great because the NBA gets it because they're putting him on TV because they get that how much fun he is to watch. And even if Buddy Hield gets the ball or some of the younger guys or some of the older guys, they get a rebound on the defensive end, man, they're looking for him to get him the ball and then darting down the floor knowing that if they're open, he's going to get him the ball. And I think that's awesome.
Right. And you forget how lanky he is. He can go get rebounds for himself too and take the ball up and get the board and get it going. I just really wish he was at Iowa State for longer is what it comes down to. But I mean, it's awesome seeing, you know, the NBA players or the Cyclone players playing well in the NBA. I mean, Niang, it was either this week or last week, had 7 threes.
Yeah, he's been averaging 14 points his like last 7 games. So he's getting into it.
Right.
He's getting it.
He's the minivan.
He is. And I have to tell you, I got to go up this week and watch the Cyclones play. I don't know how many games we're going to win. I don't know if it's going to be like last season, but man, they're going to be fun to watch. There's some talent on that team, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and we'll continue this another time.
You bet, buddy. Thank you very much for jumping on today. I will talk to you later, my friend.
All right, take care.
All right, bye. Zach Steenblok, you're listening to Steen on Sports, 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, one segment left.
This is 1700thechamp.com, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day. The weather was unbelievable today. It's not going to stick around, so get used to that. We'll be okay. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk. For real sports fans, you can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. I'm going to take you through what we have for coming up this week. Tomorrow night, after the show, you get about a half hour of Zach Gelb. You're going to have the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. A huge game for the Falcons if they want to keep in that. That's not a great division, but they want to stay up on that. They have a chance to do that. Friday night, you're going to get you and I, Richmond. I am off on Friday, and I'm off on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Friday because of the UNI game, Wednesday because of a work deal, and Thursday because of going to celebrate cancer, defeating cancer. Any time that I can go and celebrate, taking care of cancer and defeating cancer for all the people that didn't get that same. There's a lot of us out there that have, and we want to continue, and we want to talk to people, and we want to make sure that people understand all the things that are involved and everything, and celebrate that we're, you know, good. And I think that's awesome. Saturday is LSU, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi State. Sunday, Seahawks versus Buccaneers. It's another 8 a.m. They're playing in Munich. That's going to be the fourth game that we've played out of the U.S. I think this is the last one. Then we're going to have the Chiefs and the Jaguars. We are a Kansas City Chief affiliate. Then we're going to get the Chargers and 49ers. And then Monday we get you and I, Virginia basketball, 6:30 pregame. Want to thank all of our sponsors, Palmer Group, BetMGM, Come and Go, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank. And did I say Des Moines Orthopedic? If I said them twice, that's okay. Also want to thank Coach Tom Wilson and Melissa Merrifield for coming in. Well, they came in yesterday. We played it today. And for Zach Steenblatt coming in to talk a little football and a little basketball with me. This is our last segment for this Wednesday. I'm seeing if I knocked all these things out. I still don't understand how Matthew Stafford all of a sudden today showed up in concussion protocol. Wouldn't he have shown up in concussion protocol on Sunday after the game? Interesting. You never know what the NFL, I don't know. It's just weird sometimes. What else do I have here? College football playoffs. You know, no big surprises out there. You still have some. You have 3 weeks left, and then conference game. I mean, championship games. We'll see what happens. One of the things I wanted to ask Zach tonight. I saw this today. Somebody sent it to me. Big NHL guy, and he wanted to ask if I thought Connor McDavid was the most dominant player in all sports. And man, that is so hard to. Number one, he's doing it on skates on ice, which would make me believe that it's true. And this is what I'm going to say. I don't follow hockey as much as I used to. I still enjoy watching it when it's on. I don't leave it. And I saw Connor McDavid play a week ago. And this is what I'll tell you about Connor McDavid. And I think it's the biggest praise that I can give him. I grew up being able to watch Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. And I think Connor McDavid is the closest combination of taking half of one and half in the other and put it together and having this superhuman robot that there's ever been. He's big. A bully's not what you, he's not a goon, but he's close. He's tough enough to be a goon, but he's so talented. It is unbelievable. And I don't care if it's passing. I don't care if it's shots, unbelievable shots. I would tend to agree with that being out there. Kind of sad today, Anthony Rizzo opting out of his contract with the Yankees, which he could do. Doesn't mean he won't sign back. But I think that there's a possibility that he's going to go elsewhere. I don't like that. Here's the most difficult thing for the Yankees, and I get it. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm always going to be a Yankees fan. And it's just the way it is. It was growing up. That was the baseball cards I wanted because of people that I looked up to. That's the baseball cards that they wanted. And it just stuck with me. I'm a huge Reggie Jackson fan. I'm a huge Derek Jeter fan. I'm a huge Mariano Rivera fan. And that's why I'm what I am. But the New York Yankees are getting precariously close to not understanding that at some point in time, you have to, not that you have to compete with baseball, but you have to compete with the New York Mets. And I know it's the Mets, right? It's the Mets. But they're not stopping spending money. And you have money. And so that means the Steinbrenner family is just sucking in money and not pushing it out. And you can't win in baseball doing that. I don't want the New York Yankees to be the Oakland A's. I want the New York Yankees to be the New York Yankees. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they have on mind to do. there's some people. Trey Turner would be a great get for the Yankees. Keep Judge. Get Trey Turner. Just get some guys. You know, they don't have to be high price. Just get some guys that can win you baseball games. Drives me crazy. This is kind of radio, sports radio in general, can be such a turning point for people. I have three people written down on this list today, and I listened to all three of them on the radio today. And all three of them at points and times. Maybe one of them not as much. And that one was Pat McAfee. And the only reason I'm saying this about Pat McAfee is Pat McAfee was kind of an unknown. He has his own brand. He always has. He jumped on to CBS and took a really good spot right before my show. And I loved having him there because you just always had two or three things that you could talk about on stuff that he would say. Pat McAfee is the most charismatic person in radio and TV sports-wise right now. My opinion, but he can do whatever he wants to do. He can do it how he wants to do it. He can get as many guests, the top guest. It doesn't matter. He's the best. And everybody wants a piece of him, and everybody wants him doing stuff, and I love that. The other two are reclamation projects. One's Sean Salisbury. Sean Salisbury, I started listening to Sean Salisbury when Dan Patrick and Rob Dibble were on radio. First type of radio, sports radio, Sports Page, and then Sports Babe, and then you had Dan Patrick and Rob Dibble, and they were the Nasty Boy. They were hilarious, and Sean Salisbury came on. Sean Salisbury, also Adam Sandler, really good friends with Adam Sandler, went through some tough times, just, you know, drank a little bit too much and did some dumb things. But he has brought his life back together, his family life back together, everything, and he's killing it down in Houston. I love it. The other one was on Maggie and Perloff today, and I'm a huge fan. Ryan Leaf, he went through some tough times, folks. He went to jail. He lost everything. He lost his family. And he's worked his tail off to get the majority of that back. Listening to him look at football games, call football games, talk about football games is eye-opening on how much he knows. And it is a great thing. And another one of those things that when I talk about stuff, I talk about women's sports, I talk about all that. Everybody deserves another chance. I don't think they deserve multiple chances, but everybody can screw up. Guaranteed. Man, I've done it a bunch. I'm 57 years old. I've screwed up far more many times than I care to even talk about. But you can always fight back. And I fought back learning to care and love and not be the jerk that I was at some point in times in my life. And to just take all that other stuff. You know, if people are unhappy, I don't hang out with unhappy people. And there are times that I'll get into a little rut. It's called being an only child and, you know, not having someone growing up that got me out of those ruts. When you're an only child, there's not a whole lot of people you can talk to. As much as I loved my teddy bear when I was growing up, my teddy bear did not get me out of my rut. I think Ryan Leaf and what he has done and where he's heading and his trajectory that he's heading, I want to see him get some big time breaks to call some football games, because as good as Peyton Manning is at calling football games, I like his aw shucks more. I like how Ryan Leaf calls football games and dissects plays and makes plays understandable to people who haven't played football all their lives and can take it a step further and talk like he is on a football squad doing what he's doing. So I think that's a lot of fun. Once again, it's daylight savings time. Everybody be safe driving home. It's dark. Weather is not going to be good for the next few days. Let's get some prayers out to some people down in Florida. Another hurricane coming their way. Hopefully this one's not as bad. I want to thank everybody for coming in today. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott tomorrow. Here's a look at traffic.